Now, how easy is it to run a business in Northern Ireland if you're being spotted or targeted, indeed, by criminal gangs, those who would be into extortion? Thousands of businesses across the country could still be victims of extortion by these criminal gangs, according to the task force that was actually set up to tackle the paramilitaries in our society. The annual report, it's out from the Organised Crime Task Force, and it's saying that paramilitary groups are still on the case and still squeezing money out of people trying to make an honest pound. Let me speak to Detective Superintendent Bobby Singleton. Detective Superintendent Singleton, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
It's sad to think that these paramilitary gangs still have the power to do what they're doing. What methods are they using to milk money out of hardworking people?
Well, I think, Frank, probably the most shocking thing is how little they have to do in order to get the money from people. This phenomenon obviously goes right back to the time of the conflict in the early 70s. And what I think has happened is that as a society, people have become so preconditioned that this is just something you have to do if you run, in particular, a small business in Northern Ireland, that really it only takes people to arrive on a premises and make the inference. Perhaps they'll say now that they're a community worker. People take that as a code for, effectively a challenge from an organisation that they're going to have to pay up, and they do.
So these guys arrive, say, the man opens like maybe a disco, and they arrive and they say, oh, your disco's going well. Now, we're representing the community here and we want to make sure that it's safe and sound for you. You're very welcome, and we trust that you'll go from strength to strength. We'll help you look after it, and you'll give us X pounds a week.
Yeah, that's right. Quite often it does come with the promise of some form of, kind of say this with some concern, but the promise, if you like, of security services when in fact no security is ever really provided. And it's understood really that what they're saying is, by implication, is that the premises won't be attacked effectively.
Yeah, and if you don't pay up, the chances are it will be attacked.
Well, that's it. People hold that very real concern that that will happen. And for many people, they choose then to provide the money rather than to report it to police. And that's, in part, as I say, because there's a grudging acceptance that this is the way things have to be. And it's also about fear, coercion and control, which is what these paramilitaries are all about. It's about controlling the community, and it's about exploiting these businesses.
Is it in itself a crime to provide money to a group or organisation knowing that they are paramilitaries, considering that you do feel under threat?
There are offences under the Terrorism Act which may be engaged. There are also issues around tax law and also employment law as well, which can be breached. So it puts employers and business owners in a very invidious position. And that's why I think, in part, whilst law enforcement has a part to play here, and I would appeal to anyone to come forward and report this activity, because where it is reported, we actually do have a reasonable record of success in this area. But I think there's a whole societal response which is required to this, and obviously the task force which I'm involved in is part of the Tackling Paramilitarism Action Plan, and that action plan recognises that a whole societal response is needed in order to tackle the problems, symptoms like this of paramilitarism.
Now, I used the example of the entertainment world, but it's happening on building sites, isn't it? It's happening in small businesses generally.
I think the construction industry is a major target for these paramilitary groups. It always has been. I know research that was conducted a number of years ago indicated that more than half of the builders in Northern Ireland had experienced extortion. And I think probably the most shocking statistic following that was that only 3% of those people that had been extorted actually reported it to police. And this goes back to my point about how it has become, regrettably, an accepted part of just doing business in Northern Ireland. And I think quite often as well, construction companies may build it into their overheads as a form of security.
So it's incredible, isn't it, to think that it's almost part of the tendering process, that they will charge whoever they're building the houses for a little bit extra because they got to pay hoods. It's really worrying. So the most obvious question is, are the police taking it as seriously as they should?
We absolutely are. And obviously part of today's appeal is really to ask people for more information. But where we do get information, we have a range of tactics which we can employ in order to bring people to justice. And as I said, especially when we have the cooperation of victims, we have a really good success record in this area. Now, that said, there are definitely challenges for witnesses in terms of coming forward. It's very similar to paramilitary style attacks because of the coercion and the fear that people are in. But like that issue, we don't accept defeat, if you like, in that sense. And what we do is if we can't clear that particular crime, then we very much make the individuals and groups that we know are behind this activity priorities for us. And that's precisely what we've done through the Paramilitary Crime Task Force.
You're not just busy with extortion. You've got your eye on people who are victims of modern day slavery. You've got your worries and concerns about what's happening with organised crime gangs on the internet and how they're deceiving people. You have your worries about the organised theft of motor vehicles. There are so many things that seem to be rampant in this part of the world.
Well, organised crime is multifaceted, and I think certainly the report that the Organised Crime Task Force have published demonstrates that. I think the UK government assessed that organised crime costs the Exchequer somewhere in the region of about £24 billion per year. The Irish government reckon it's about €2 billion a year to them. So you can see organised crime is huge business, but I think the highlight for me out of the report, which is published today, is really around not only the partnerships between law enforcement, and I think the report demonstrates the effectiveness of the work that we're doing, but also the crucial nature of partnerships across all of government, and I think really importantly as well with the community, in terms of being able to head off the threats that organised crime poses.
In the Republic, we hear a lot about gangs that have almost family names, and they're much reported in the tabloids in particular. Here in Northern Ireland, we don't seem to have that sort of gang. Is that because they still masquerade under a paramilitary name?
Well, at the minute, we would assess there's probably about 100 active organised crime gangs in Northern Ireland, and they take a variety of different shapes and forms. About 25% of those, Frank, I would say, are directly or indirectly linked to paramilitary organisations. So it varies. But there are organised crime groups which are established and continue to exist on family lines in Northern Ireland as well.
And you know these people, you see them, but you just can't nail them, is that it?
No, well, actually, again, one of the things that's in the report is the number of successes that we've had against these organised crime groups. We, not only as a single agency, but working in partnership with the National Crime Agency, HMRC, and of course, and Garda Síochána as well. We've had a number of successes over the last 12 months. But the reality is, organised crime is big business. Groups will take the hits and will seek to come back. That's part of our role. To do what we can in terms of law enforcement to keep the boot on their neck, as it were.
And do they cross their... I don't know how to best phrase this so as it doesn't sound flippant, but are these guys operating in a variety of communities? Are loyalists liaising with Republicans because there's money to be made from drugs or from modern-day slavery?
They absolutely are. I mean, what drives organised crime is gain. It's about greed and financial gain. So people are quite happy to park their ideology for the sake of a few pounds.
And there's an international dimension to it as well.
There is. Again, my assessment at the minute would be that maybe 10 to 15% of our organised crime groups here in Northern Ireland have some kind of extraterritorial dimension, whether that's cross-border, here on the island of Ireland, or whether it stretches over to Europe and, in fact, as far in some cases as Asia.
And finally, for people who are worried, for people who are caught in the eye of this storm, who aren't on the periphery of it looking in, what's your message to them? Can we be confident that the police, as you suggested, are taking this seriously, that you have the resources to continue to hammer away at the nut to put the boot on the neck, as you've mentioned yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. We're fully committed to tackling this problem, but we're realistic as well, Frank. I think when it comes to paramilitarism, as with organised crime, we're not going to arrest our way out of these problems. It does require a whole governmental, whole society response, and I think the positive thing around that is that with the Tackling Paramilitarism Action Plan, we have a plan as to what we need to do in order to make that a reality.
Okay, well, let's hope you make the progress. Detective Superintendent Bobby Singleton, thanks for your time this morning. Thank you.
No problem.
You know the police number if you can help them. 02890-333-105 is ours. If you have a story to tell us, how difficult is it for you running a business if you're looking over your shoulder with that particular form of threat hanging in the air?